Welcome to EnviroPod, a chance to catch up with all the good things your Department of Public Works and Environmental Services does to maintain and improve the environment in Fairfax County. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco, and on this edition of the podcast, I'm welcoming back Matt Adams, Division Director of the county's Solid Waste Management Program, and today we'll be discussing an upcoming initiative called the Unified Sanitation Districts, or USDs for short. Matt, welcome back to EnviroPod.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure. So before we get into these USDs, exactly what they are and how they'll be rolled out, let's talk first about how trash is currently picked up in Fairfax County. What's the strategy?
So currently in Fairfax County, we have a free market style trash collection. So at any point, residents can reach out to a collector. They can reach out and negotiate or contact a collector to get trash service for either themselves or, you know, in, for example, an HOA. They'll go out and negotiate with a trash hauler directly. We don't, Fairfax County's government's not involved. You know, we enforce the code and our code requirements, but it's a free market economy. So a resident can call any number of the collectors and negotiate for a price. There is a small 10% of the total that currently Fairfax County does pick up and through internally, and that is through a petition process that for sanitation districts, not a unified sanitation district, but just a regular sanitary district, that there's a petition process that residents that are interested can go through that's on our website if people are interested.
I am in that lucky 10%, and mm-hmm. I moved into that neighborhood when that service was already up and running. So it was a few years before I realized that friends of mine have to deal with, their trash isn't automatically getting picked up. They have to negotiate deals with a private hauler. As a matter of fact, a colleague of mine here moved out of our neighborhood into one where he had to think about that. And there was a lot going on between the different neighbors. They all had their favorite collectors. And so he said it was kind of interesting and difficult negotiating that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling these USDs will take care of that. But so you're saying in terms of, before we move on to the USDs, in terms of the county pickup, that is something that neighborhoods have to petition the county to get? Is that
correct?
Okay.
So there's a process where the board has to approve of these petitions to have the Fairfax County collect that waste. And that's actually directed or, you know, managed. That whole process is part of a state code, state law, about how that comes through. Because so that the residents have to vote and they have to petition and then they have to get approved by the board and then we'll come and pick it up.
Okay. So presumably they're maxed out at this point with who they can serve, and then it's up to the rest of the county, the other 90% of the county, to do this privately. So explain what the unified sanitation districts are and when they'll be rolling out.
So unified sanitation districts is an idea or a concept or a model where instead of having residents, you know, your friend that moved out of the sanitary district, going and negotiating with haulers or collectors individually, the county would move through this process called displacement, where we would move towards taking the county and splitting it into individual smaller areas and bidding those contracts out to the collector community, so that instead of you bidding by yourself or an HOA bidding in their 100 homes, that we would package together larger pieces of the county and bid them all collectively together to negotiate for an even better price. Because, you know, now if you think about it, when residents are bidding, they're bidding by themselves. So a trash collector may drive past three or four homes or 10 homes to come and pick up your house. Instead of picking up those four along the way, the effectiveness and the efficiency through that and the guaranteed work drives a better price for the residents. And it allows us as the county to write the contract in a way so that we can dedicate or dictate what services are provided. We can dictate kind of from a contractual standpoint, you know, say you get a miscollection. We can write in the contract that, you know, there's liquidated damages associated with that or there's penalties to the collector. So now we have even more control and more ability to be able to make sure that the collector is doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing. And we can provide more service. Like, so for example, like organics or organics collection or some of these other things that we want to do. Currently, by state law, I can't require it. But contractually, we can bid that work out and then it makes it significantly easier to do.
Are most private haulers varied enough in their services?
So right now, most private haulers, I mean, they have the ability to do the normal service, right? So they can do waste pickup, recycling, yard waste, right? But if we move to like food waste, there are collectors in the county that are currently doing that. That do curbside collection for that. But most of the larger haulers or most of the larger aren't really set up to do that currently because it's not required and we don't, why would they, right? So, but that's okay though. I mean, that's a completely different business. So by going to a contract model, more than one person can bid on the waste stream. So, you know, we can have any number of people out there collecting.
So how many districts is the county going to be broken into?
So that's a very good question. And I'd be the first one to tell you, and I wish I knew. Because right now, what we're seeking to do is just start the process. So that process called displacement, where we, by state law, have to tell the collectors or the hauling community that, hey, we're going to be moving to these contracts in 5 years. So this entire initiative is based around the idea that we want to give notice to the collectors and give notice to the community that within 5 years, this thing will change. Because in 5 years, over the next 5 years, we're going to be going through and doing, you know, cutting the county up into these districts. We're going to be doing the math associated how many homes and residents and pricing and collection days. And but right now, we don't really know. I mean, that's a very complex problem that will take all 5 years to figure out. But we don't want to start doing that math and start doing all that figuring out until we have, you know, that we're sure that we're going to be moving in that direction, which is what we want to move for the board to approve in June.
Wow. It, you know, just from the perspective of a homeowner, it seems like a very efficient way to go about it. And also, just kind of a quieter way to go about it. Instead of having a different trash collector come every single day of the week, which is what I've heard some neighborhoods endure that, you just have one day, one collection, one regular service. And it seems like that's a boon to the homeowners.
Absolutely. And that's one of our big selling points. And I mean, not only is it the idea that it could be significant, I mean, it could be cheaper. I mean, think about it in your community. How many trash trucks roll down a road at any given time? It could be as many as 18 come through your neighborhood in a month. Depends on, I mean, in a month depends on where you are in the street. If you're at the end of a cul-de-sac, four different people could have four different haulers, and if that's the case, then there's going to be anywhere between 12 to 18 different trucks coming through there to pick up that waste. That's a lot different than just a guaranteed four.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'll say.
So it definitely changes, and it makes the roads safer because there's less big trucks on them. There's less noise. It's environmentally, the number of CO2 emissions go way down. I mean, there's just a lot of benefits to do this.
You mentioned environmental. It made me think of I did a video for Channel 16 about a year and a half ago, maybe, of a rollout of an electric trash collector collection truck. Is this something that will be integrated into this plan, or is that just on the county side of things?
So right now, Fairfax County has two electric trash trucks, and I mean, they were a pilot program that we used to try to, you know, show people that these things are, that can be done. I mean, it was some of the I think it is the first two on the East Coast to have. I mean, we're the only ones that have it. It was a really cool initiative. So it's not a requirement, obviously, but it's one of those things that we wanted to demonstrate to the collector community that it could be done, and that, you know, that there are options for that.
It's like a proof of concept, and as collectors start replacing trucks or their fleet over time, it's something that could be adopted. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And also on the homeowner side of things, I know that they're pretty quiet.
So, absolutely.
There could be some future benefit to that kind of thing. But there are bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, it seems like dividing up the county with this displacement program or scheme or...
So it's a unified sanitation district model.
Okay.
So we're using this model to separate the county into pieces and then bid those pieces out. So, I mean... That's what we're working with.
God, that sounds like such an undertaking. I can't even fathom because it's a huge county, so many people, so many different residences and different types of areas, and different kind of roadways you'd be moving these trucks through and scheduling regularly. So, question: if they are private haulers. And they are not, you know, they're contracting with the county, but they're not directly, they're not direct county entities. How does the county guarantee that that they will live up to their end of the bargain?
Right. So that's part of that contract piece we were talking about previously. That, you know, right now, how we go about it. So say if a hauler does something they're not supposed to do, then we have to go out and catch them. We have to go out and, you know, see that they're not doing it, then we have to go through a legal process, you know, through an enforcement process. And it becomes, you know, because then it has to be back through the court. There's like a bunch of things that have to happen. Yeah. When we move to a unified sanitation district model or a contract model, then the penalties and the, you know, the guarantees and assurances are in the contract. So if they have a missed pickup, then there you could say that there's we could write in there that there's liquidated damages associated to that. If they're not meeting service levels, then we can fine them or charge them, you know, that they have to that service wasn't provided. So they don't get paid for that. So it definitely gives us a lot more options based on what's in the contract with those haulers and with those collectors.
Right. And there's a lot more force or leverage behind a county contract, I would imagine, than an HOA's contract with a company. And I'm sure all these most of these companies are on the up and up anyway. But
yeah,
but sometimes there are disagreements and you have to.
Well, so all these companies, a lot of our collecting community is very good. They're a very good. They do a very good job. There's a lot of people. They do a lot of these things. And we're, you know, they do a very good job. But it's still one of those things that there is a lot of people. There's a lot of these things that are happening, and it's always good to have an assurance that, that you know, contractually you are obligated to do these things. Otherwise, there are penalties. So it just makes it a cleaner, more direct conversation.
My next question has to do with finances from the homeowner's perspective. I'm assuming that in some way this will incur some cost, whether through taxation or what have you. So that's actually the first part of my question. Will homeowners be paying more for their trash pickup?
So now, again, the lines for sanitary districts and the service levels and a lot of these things have not been determined yet. But what I can say is that, you know, based on models that we have seen of other communities of similar size that have went through a similar process, that have moved from a free market system to, you know, negotiating in larger pieces, there has been up to about a 25% reduction in cost. So the residents see a 25% reduction because, again, we're looking at it as the idea that you're not just yourself out there negotiating. You know, there's a block of 10,000 homes. There's a block of 50,000 homes. The incentive is significantly in the favor of the 50,000 homes or the 10,000 homes, because if that's the case, then that collector has guaranteed work. It's efficient. It's effective. They can get there, get the job done. It's clear cut. They don't have to drive past people's houses. Windshield time is down. There's a lot of cost savings that are associated with that. So we've seen, similar places that have went through something similar, seen a 25% reduction.
Wow. I was hoping and expecting you were going to say that because it just sort of stands to reason when you negotiate in a larger group, you're going to get every individual is going to get a better deal out of it. What about, I have a family of four. We happen to produce a lot of garbage while my kids are young. As we get older, please forgive the expression, the little old lady down the street who produces very little garbage. Is there any sort of, I remember hearing something in a board meeting at some point about a pay per pound kind of model. Is that a thing here?
So what we were talking about, that hasn't been decided how we are going to implement something like that. But the idea is that it would be what we're calling like a waste less, save more model.
Okay.
And it would, this isn't set in stone. We haven't figured any of this out. But the idea is that residents would be able to select the size of their cart.
That's what it was.
So it's not pay by the pound, and it's not, we're not monitoring people's stuff. We're giving, the idea would be to give residents the option to have trash collection that best suits their individual need. So, but that hasn't been decided. How we're going to roll that out, that's all part of that real in-depth math that we're trying to figure out on what all that costing is going to be, what our options are going to be, what we're going to hear from the community, what we're going to hear from the board members about what they want to see in these contracts. So there's a lot of time between now and then, but that's the idea. So
right.
We want to waste less and save more because we want to really incentivize source reduction. We want to incentivize people to throw less stuff away and to utilize the recycling can and to utilize the organics part of the waste stream.
Right. I remember being very excited about the option because every once in a while, I'm not that forgetful, but every once in a while I'll forget it's trash night. Mm-hmm. And then that next week I'm like, man, I wish we had a larger container. But, you can't go changing your policies for knuckleheads like myself. So what are the projected benefits to the county as a whole and the region maybe?
So if we're talking about moving to this model, the Unified Sanitation District model, there's a ton of benefits. Once we have a better control over how that waste is collected and what we can do with it, like I'd mentioned previously, if moving to this contract, I can't force a collector to pick up food scraps right now. But if I offer it as part of our suite of services, right? Now I have a dedicated stream of food scraps and organic material. Now that I have that, then I can build an organics composting facility that could be used regionally to be able to make compost. That becomes, now it's a resource. So I took something that is trash or that is a waste, separated it out, found a secondary use for, and now I've created soil that can be brought back to the community and used in gardens, used in park projects, used in all kinds of places to help enrich the soil that we have. So, that's the idea, is that we're trying to take some of these things and make a use out of them. So instead of them being a bill that is just, trash, you got to throw it away, it's burned, and then put in a landfill, we want to make reuse opportunities for them. And this is, USDs helps us do that.
Just on the compost side of things, I am a convert. I don't personally compost. We don't do any gardening really at home. But in terms of our habits, first of all, my grandmother was always like throwing away food is a sin.
Yeah.
And so she drilled that into me. But right around here in our office, we have a composting container next to our recycling and our regular garbage. And I have to be honest, when it came in, I was like, oh, great, we're going to have this smell of rotten food and all this. And first of all, that has not been the case. And second of all, one of my colleagues here has turned this curmudgeon into a composter. I actually look forward to getting rid of my food waste, from lunch and what have you, in that container. I think that's a kind of a microcosm of how things can change, you know, if you can get to someone like me who's set in his ways, these kind of things can be successful.
Absolutely. That's a big, I mean, that's actually a really good example, right, of showing that it can be done. And, you know, a lot of people have some already pre, you know, their preconception of what it, you know, what USDs are going to look like, what compost is going to do, what we're going to do with waste. You know, you can see it, that there are programs that work. You know, big shout out to our friends at FMD and at OEEC that helped get that compost into the building. And people enjoy it. There's no, I mean, it doesn't smell. People are taking that material. It's being reused. They make soil out of it today. It's a really good program that, you know, a lot of groups worked on to inside of the government center here and outside of some of our other buildings. It just shows that it can work.
Well, before I let you go, I want to reiterate that the USDs, the Unified Sanitation Districts, are still kind of in their embryonic phase, and mm-hmm. they're being figured out, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but it's a very solid idea. Tell us about, again, what's going to happen in June with the Board of Supervisors.
So the timeline currently is that right now we're going through a Unified Sanitation District, like an informational campaign. There's a website that's out so that individuals can go if they want to learn more. As we get more and more questions, we're going to add more, you know, to the FAQs. We're going to consistently update the website. You're going to see social media ads. You're going to see, you know, stuff out in the community talking about Unified Sanitation Districts and their benefits and what we're trying to do. So what we're going to do is, over the next 6 months or so, continue to educate the community about what that means, what we're trying to do, and why. And then we're targeting around the early summer timeline is that we're going to be meeting, the board is going to have a public hearing about Unified Sanitation Districts. And the idea is that during that public hearing, we're going to hear from the public, we're going to hear from you know, the community about what they think about Unified Sanitation Districts. And hopefully the board moves forward with, you know, approving legislation or a resolution around displacement. They'll start the clock on, so they'll start the displacement clock. Well, there's some stuff that we have to do, some contact and some, you know, outreach to the hauling community we have to do. But we start the clock sometime this summer, and then over the next 5 years, we're going to be doing all of the contract writing, all of the math, all of the, you know, trying to get the system right, and, you know, consistently reaching out to the community, like to what they want, what they don't want, what the board wants. We're going to be working through that process to hopefully deliver our first Unified Sanitation District contract in 5 years. So in 2030, okay, we can start waste collection.
Well, in the meantime, for people to get up to speed, you said they can go to your webpage. Is that just fairfaxcounty.gov and search Unified Sanitation District?
So if you go to Fairfax County's solid waste webpage, there's a banner right at the top that says, you know, we're transforming waste collection in the county. Do you want to know more? You can click the link right there.
Great. This sounds like a real great initiative, and it sounds like a real clear example of Fairfax County government making things better. So mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing how this all works out. All Matt, right, thank you so much for coming on EnviroPod. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
And thank you for listening to EnviroPod. If you want to get more information on the Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services and all that it does, go to fairfaxcounty.gov/publicworks. Or call 703-324-5033. You can call weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on EnviroPod, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.